pushing ourselves. You're going to burn out, But I always say this, I see much more people getting snuffed out than burned out. You know what I'm saying? You're not snuffed out, it means when you light a candle and you see it get smaller and smaller and something, you're like, and it's gone. That's what I see happening a lot, because no one's like, well, not no one, but it takes a real man to put that, to try and create that tension in your life. We're looking for the easy life, we're looking for the good life, you know? But really the good life is the life where we're pushing. I've said many times that, you know, the stories, you know, these heroic stories from the Holocaust, or even the story, like, there was a guy called Fund. He was a war hero from a few years ago. It was from one of the wars, maybe 10, 12 years ago. I took pictures of, I think, his sister's wedding.
Ford?
Maybe.
It's a war, he was like...
Harry Ford?
What?
Ford. He was the one who was from killed.
From
Efrat?
Yeah.
From Efrat,
yeah.
He was
killed.
Yeah,
Harry
Ford.
Hillel.
Oh.
No,
Hillel
was the
Harry
Ford.
Harry Ford
was the one who was killed in the terrorist attack.
He was a Ford, though.
I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. I feel bad, but so anyway, so he was like, he was a war hero. He like went into a tunnel. This wasn't with Azza. This was another. He went into a tunnel. Sorry, it was probably Azza. I don't know. And he managed. He went in against the command, and he managed to retrieve like a fragment of a soldier's helmet and some skull or something like that, and they ascertained that the soldier had been killed. And if the soldier had been taken alive, then they'd go crazy. And he was like crowned a real war hero. He did something very heroic, and he was a nice guy. He wasn't like a hero. I mean, he'd become a hero. And it's just these stories. And like in the Holocaust, these stories, these crazy stories of people, you know, we've all heard these heroic stories, and we're just like, wow, wow, wow. And I always think that these were just people like us, just normal people like us who got put in these crazy situations. And how would we react? And I think most of us would blow ourselves away. Most of us would cry if we knew what we're capable of doing. But we're so passionate, scared about burning out, or like, yeah, it's good to burn out every once in a while. If you're not burning out, like every once in a while, if you don't have a crash every once in a while, the goal is to engineer the crashes that they're not mamish write-offs. They've got to have micro crashes. Have, you know, if you're not doing that, then hurrah, you're not pushing. You know, to be pushing full blast and to not burn out a little bit every now and again, that's, I don't know if that's, maybe after years and years of working out exactly where you are, and you get better and better at knowing exactly where you can push. But the point is, I was saying this, I can't remember, I've just been talking so much in the past week, someone here has heard this, that it's like having a Bugatti and, you know, just driving it to the grocery shop at 20 miles per hour. After a few years, that Bugatti will start to think he's a Fiesta. It's a tragedy. You know, take it to the racetrack and mama kill it for, you know. And it's so funny because that's what gives you life. It's like who are the least life? The people with the least life are the ones sitting there on the couch with the remote control. They've got the least life. Who are the ones with the most life? The ones on the running machine. It's just, that's how life works. The more you squeeze it, the more it gives you. So it's like we have to, for our own sake, you forget about the von Scholem right now. Maybe that's later. But just for our own sake, to try and intelligently engineer, everyone knows what they can do, what they've got, the things they've got available to them, that they've got available in their lives. But to try and engineer some kind of pushing, and it's just you'll inspire yourself. And then there's a fringe benefit as well. You'll see everybody else around you also getting inspired. I took everyone's heard all these stories, but it's Chizuk, no? So I'll say, every year I take on projects, learning projects. So last year, I took on to learn the Orchan course, and it was a massive bite. It was a really, I would not have taken it on if I knew what a big bite that was. But I did. And halfway through the year, I was talking to my wife. I'm like very, what's the word? Like action.
Like
I'm so
stubborn.
Yeah, stubborn. If I take it, I'm very, you know, committed to it. It takes a lot of nowadays to like knock me off. But it was just so much. And I remember talking to my wife, like, this is just, it was hours and hours every week, you know? And I'm debating this way and that way, and I was really 50-50 whether to keep going, whether to let go. My wife didn't give me much of a, she didn't help out so much with what I should do. And it was left with me to make the decision. And as I remember the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Eitzah was always, when you're feeling overwhelmed, take on something else.
More.
Add. Why? So I think, I never heard him say that, but I think the way it works, the mechanism, is that when you're maxed out, because you really you're never maxed out. You just think you're maxed out. That's the problem. It's like the toothpaste. How many toothpaste tubes do you ever remember throwing away? I think I remember, I'm 45 years old, I think I remember throwing away one toothpaste tube. You can always, you know what I'm saying? There's always, you get your thumb
it's like
in
the
there.
The Baba Sally's.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you think there's none left, then you can get the actual brush inside and scoop a little bit out. It doesn't end. There's always a little bit more to squeeze out.
I had one of those for the whole year in Yeshiva.
I completely lost myself there. What was I saying? So I was thinking, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said when you're overwhelmed, and by the way, that word in my vocabulary is usser. I never use the word overwhelmed. That word does not exist. That word does not exist in my vocabulary. I never ever say that. Unless I'm saying I'm overwhelmed like emotionally by something, like I'm overwhelmed by how much I love you or something. But the idea of being overwhelmed, that word is useless. It's paralyzing and completely unhelpful. It's very good to delete that word from your vocabulary. So anyway, what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said was when you're mamash maxed out, take something else on. I think the mechanics of it is that you'll realize that you weren't maxed out. And that will give you a chizuk to go via to, because you just know that you weren't maxed out.
Get something done and ask a busy person.
Exactly, right. That's exactly.
So it's time management, yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, you know, what do I do? And I think I did use the word overwhelmed at that point because it was really a lot. And then I got this random email. I was thinking of taking on learning the Rambam. And then the Mishnah Torah with one of my sons for his bar mitzvah is like a long-term project. And then in the middle of this complete bilbul of whether I should carry on with the Or Chaim, I get this random email from Chabad. I have no idea how they got my address.
We got you.
And they were like, we're starting the new 3-year Seder of the Mishnah Torah like in 2 days. And I had brought, because I wanted to start on Sukkos, I had brought the English Rambam, the 19 set English Rambam, which was just sitting on my shelf. I was looking at it like, wow, that's a big bite. How am I going to do that? And it was just, I just forgot about it. And I get this email and I clenched my fist. And I said, let's do it.
Wow.
In the middle of like not knowing what to do with it, or how I took on the Rambam, and it worked. My point is, I'm not trying to like.
Did you get chizuk when you did it? You got chizuk.
You become your own inspiration. Imagine that.
Crazy.
You don't have to go to a shiur for inspiration. You are your own source of inspiration. You could blow yourself away by what you can do.
Yeah.
But just no one ever gets pushed because everything's so comfortable and everything's so... I'm not taking away. I know we have our nisyonis and stuff, yeah? But you don't feel good when you get, you know, when you're dealing with a nisyon. That's just, you get dragged through the washing machine every now and again, yeah? That's unpleasant and it's difficult and whatever. You can give yourself a pat on the back. But the inspiration comes from when you, out of your own volition, decided to take on something that you look back and you're like, wow, oh Hashem. And you don't and then this is the real key to the whole thing, because you could turn around and say, you know, like you could look up and you're like, Hashem, that one's for you, you know, but that's completely wrong. Really, you should like fall on your knees and say, thank you, Hashem, Thank you. When you complete these amazing things, if you do these amazing things, you become more grateful and you become more inspired and everything gets picked up around you. So it's like the key is, like you said, the key is just to, in a controlled manner, to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. I know people don't really talk about this, like people aren't, like people are looking for, one of the things that when I speak to people, a lot of times husbands are, they feel not respect. Women feel unloved by their husbands, and husbands feel unrespected. Is that the word?
Disrespected.
That's not the. I don't know. That's not really the word I'm looking for. Not disrespected. Just not respected.
Dishonored.
Something like that. Just not respected by their wives. Okay. So a lot of men are feeling that they're not being respected by their wives. A lot of women are feeling they're not being loved by their husbands. So what's the answer? Help each other out. Women, try and be more lovable. Men, try and be more respectable. How can you respect someone who's not being respectable? Like, how can you trust someone who's not being trustworthy? How can you love someone who's not being lovable? Yeah? They can help you, so you can help your wife. We can help our wives by, again, this whole, when you become one of these people who's constantly trying to find that extra little place to push, you become respectable, you start to respect yourself, your wife starts to respect you more, your children start to respect you more, and it's an upward spiral. Again, like I said, the Bodhi Shalom's really on our side, he really is. He fixed the whole thing that we can do with these little actions, we can keep going up. So.